Good morning. Good to see you here this morning. Welcome to any visitors that are here with us. I pray that you find that you're comfortable here, but maybe at the same time challenged at the same time, because I believe that church needs to be that way, right? For those that need comforting, you can be comforted. Those that are comfortable need to be challenged. In other words, it goes both ways at times. And so I believe that in a sense today, some of the things we're going to be talking about, that may be happening, you know, may happen in your life. Amen. We've been talking about soul care. That's been the theme that we've had for the last month or so. And what do I mean by that, especially for those that are visiting? Well, basically, we're a three-part being, a spirit, a soul, and a body. So our body is the tent that we live in, that we can see when we look at one another. And then we have the spirit part, which is, you know, I like to say that's deep down in your heart, in the core of your being. And that's the part that's changed. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the part that gets changed first, where you were dead in your sin, the Bible says, and you become alive in God. So there's this life that happens down in your heart. But then there's another part of your life, which is your soul or your mind. That's your will, your emotions, your feelings, all that, your decision-making part. And that's the gray matter between your ears. Well, is it gray? I was always told it was gray. And that's what my mom always said. But it's probably pinkish because there's, you know, blood going through your brain. But anyway, the part that's between your ears, okay? That's your mind. And the thing is, a lot depends on your mind. You might say, well, hold it. I thought that, you know, we're spirit beings. We're supposed to walk by the Spirit. How many people agree with that? Yes, right? Here's the problem, though. For you to walk by the Spirit, everything has to pass through your mind. In other words, for me to come up here, for example, here, I walked up on this platform, my mind had to say, okay, feet, you got to take those steps, take a deep breath first, go on up, you know, it's going to be okay, I'm with you, you know, and I went up. But my mind had to tell my body to do that, right? Now, the thing is, my spirit began that whole process because I knew I was supposed to be here this very morning to talk to you. But here's the thing, my spirit couldn't make me come to church. What got me here? My mind, and then my mind instructing my body. And so in a sense, your mind is the gateway. It's the pass-through for everything spiritual to happen in your life, down here on this earth. And so what we've been talking about over the last number of weeks is that very thing, that our mind has to be changed. If you want to walk closer to Jesus, if you want to see God move more in your life, then you have to allow your mind to be transformed daily in Christ Jesus. All right? That's how it works. So let me show you scripture just to set us off here to get started. And it's found in Revelations 12, verse 11. And they're going to put it up. And it talks about us overcoming. They're going to put it up there. There it is. They overcame him, and that him is Satan in the context, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Okay, how many people want to overcome Satan? Anybody here? Well, if you didn't put up your hand, somebody needs to come and do CPR on you, because I would hope you want to be an overcomer. You don't want him to roll over you. You don't want him to destroy your life. So here's the thing. There's some conditions to this, right? We overcame, and so who's the they there? I say that's us, we, you, me, all right? You know, that we are the ones that are called to overcome. So we overcome him, overcome Satan by how? By the blood of the Lamb. Let's just talk about that for a moment. What does that mean? Well, what that means is it's speaking of the cross of Calvary. You'll see a cross here in the back. It speaks of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. When he shed his blood, that through believing in what he did, because of the price he paid for our sins, we could have everlasting life. Do you believe that? I hope so, because that's your ticket to heaven. That's your way to get into heaven. It's not based upon your good works, because you can never do enough good things to be good enough to get to heaven. And so God sent his Son to do the only good work necessary for him to take our place, to be the substitute for us. And so he paid the price so we could have a free pass to go to heaven. It's a pretty good deal. Can you say amen to that? It really is a good deal, all right? So by the blood of the Lamb, we've overcame Satan. In a sense, Satan didn't want to do what? To crush you, to destroy you, to keep you from going to heaven, to keep you from being in fellowship with God, right? And Jesus made a way where there seemeth to be no way. He made that bridge, right? Cross that gap so we could cross over. But there's another part to it, right? So the blood of Jesus has purchased that for us. But for us to overcome in this life, we also have to buy the word of their testimony. Well, what does that mean? Well, obviously that could talk about the word of God, because the Bible is what? A testimony. In fact, we call it the Old Testament, New Testament, right? And so it's a testimony of what God has done through all of history. But what I love about this book is that there's no end to it. When you read the book of Acts, it basically ends with the moment that it was recorded. In other words, you see the Apostle Paul was doing certain things, and it just ends. And you might, it doesn't say, well, this is the end. It just ended because that's all that needed to be written to that point, because it was to present day of that day. Guess what? 2,000 years has gone by. The book of Acts is still being written in your life and in my life. And it's pretty amazing, isn't it? So they put that scripture back up. They keep taking that scripture away from me. I love this scripture. And so here it is. And by the word of their testimony. So not only the testimony of the word of God, but the testimony of what God has done in your life and in mine up until this present day and what he's going to do in the future. Amen? Now that's stuff to get excited about. But then it goes on, and this is the crux to this. Let me ask again, how many people want to be an overcomer? Okay, so the blood of Jesus has already been done, right? He's already given his life. He's already given us a testimony as a base here, right? Now, we still have more testimony in our lives, but then it says, and this is the caveat to the thing, this is the linchpin, so to speak, and they did not love their lives to the death. Jesus in Matthew, I believe in chapter 16, says this, if you would come after me, you must deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. For whoever wants to keep his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for me shall find it. Well, what is he talking about? Are we supposed to go and, you know, commit suicide or something? That's not what that's talking about. But what it's talking about is our thinking in our soul, in our mind. In other words, literally, we have to put to death those ways of thinking that's contrary to the Word of God. Amen? Because if we do that, we overcome. See, how does Satan attack us today? The Bible talks about fiery darts he throws at us. Well, I have yet to see a fiery dart sticking out of somebody's side. You get what I'm saying? Oh, man, let me get that fiery dart out of you. Satan must have done that. That's not what it's talking about. When he talks about fiery darts, he talks about darts, thoughts being thrown at your mind to try to deceive you and trick you to do wrong thinking and wrong things. That's what it's about. And so what we have to do is die to our own thinking and live God's way, and we overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the testimony. It's that easy, but it's that hard. You get what I'm saying? It's easy, and there it is. You know, it's there. But the thing is, for you and I to actually walk it out, that's where it's challenging. Because I think Veronica said this, you know, we need to be filled up because we're going to have withdrawals when we're out in the world. And literally, that's how it is, isn't it? And so we're going to do something a little different today. Normally, I spend a lot of time talking about the testimony. The testimony of God's word. You know, I'm a word guy. That's who I am. Why? Because the word has set me free. And so out of my deliverance, in a sense, I speak it, right? In fact, that's what all of us do. In an area, if God has done something, what do you want to do? You want to tell somebody about it. And so God's word has changed my life, and I pray it's changed yours as well. But there are times that we also need to hear the testimony of people who have overcome. Testimony of people who maybe been in some tough places, so that we can relate in a sense and say, man, that's real stuff. And then we can hear about the victory there is in Christ Jesus. So we got one of those mornings, all right? So here's what we're going to do. Put your hands together for Wayne and Kim Crusher. They're going to come up, and we're going to be talking with them. Amen? I love Wayne and Kim, and you're going to learn to love them too once you hear their story, if you haven't. Thank you. Beautiful. The other good thing about interviewing people, I get to sit down. You know, normally I'm standing for like about 4 hours for, you know, through the services, and I get to sit, which is cool. Amen. Well, welcome back. We had a wonderful time together at the first service, and we're, you know, as you know, I gave you some possible questions, so it won't be the same as the first service. It's just the way it is. But, you know, you guys have been a part of Reach Out for almost 4 years. You know, what brought you here to our little humble abode here? Mm-hmm.
I'm ordained through Elam Fellowship, my credentials. So we met Carl at, he's the area rep for here in the Valley. So we met Carl through those meetings, and just the spirit, we just bonded. And we appreciate him and Sandra, and so we started coming.
Amen. Amen. And so we need to go, in a sense, back in time a little bit and then come forward in time. But to say this, you know, Wayne and Kim have been involved in ministry here. They've helped Pastor Bob with some of the care groups and this visitation and those kinds of things over the last year to 2 years now, give or take. And it's been very helpful to the church. Some of you, how many have had encounters with Wayne and Kim at one level or another? All right, so you, has it been okay? You know, let's get some feedback.
Not
right here.
Good.
Hey, I'm just messing with you. I didn't do that at the first service, so I'm off script already. I'm having fun with this. But no, you've been a tremendous blessing here, and we really appreciate it. But here's the thing, you know, we're a church that I believe in the redemption of everyone. And here's what I mean. I believe that everyone has to accept Jesus to be saved, all right? You have to accept Jesus to be saved. But here's what I do believe, that there's no sin or no wrong that you can do, even as a believer, that can't be completely forgiven. And to say anything different would take away the power of the cross. If he can't forgive, and we know that, right? You know, if you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you read 1 John, that was to believers. And so if that be true, then that means that anything that happens in our life is redeemable. Amen? And so we're going to talk a little bit about their story going back about some stuff that happened that wasn't God. But God can still use things like that. Amen? And so, how'd you guys meet? Tell us at the beginning what happened.
Okay. Well, we met in high school. Wayne was a senior. I was a freshman. And we just hit it off and we're gelled together. And we actually got married a few months after I graduated high school.
Wow.
So, I was young. He was young. And we started our journey.
So you didn't know the Lord at this time,
no,
right?
We did
you
not.
Just started going through life like mm-hmm. many young couples, all right?
Yep.
And you had some children, right?
We yep. did.
Two
yep.
boys.
Two boys. Kyle's right there. How are you?
How you doing? So you meet, you get married, you've got kids, you've got a family happening. Okay, so is everything all cheery and happy?
No, actually, we just started to grow apart. Just trying, I think a lot of it was just trying to survive
mm-hmm.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
We had the little ones. We, you know, Wayne worked. I had a daycare in the house, and it helped out, you know.
Sure.
But we were trying to figure everything out, I think,
mm-hmm.
but doing it separate.
Now, somewhere along the way, Jesus knocked on the door of your heart.
Yes.
So what happened?
Well, I was on a Tristius weekend. That's a retreat weekend for men and then women. And he spoke to me. The biggest thing was his forgiveness.
Hmm.
He forgave me. And that was a really hard for me to understand. And as we went on, I didn't forgive myself. Hmm. And it was until I forgave myself that I could experience his total forgiveness
awesome.
In my life.
It's awesome. And so you accept the Lord, but did Wayne at the same time or no?
No, he actually, you want to yep. say?
Yeah, I was a little bit earlier, about a couple months. August 9th, 1984, I was sitting in the living room with the two little guys, and I was trying to watch them. Sometimes I messed up, but I was looking out the window, and I worked at IBM, and I was at a question in my life, like, not that I was disgruntled with anything, I just didn't feel totally content, and I was asking, what is life about? You know, what is the bottom line? What is there something? And I had sent for a Power for Living book back in the 70s, and I had sent for it a year before, so it sat up on the bookcase. And that day, as I'm looking out the window, a commercial came on the TV for Power for Living. And I looked at the TV, I looked up at the bookshelf, I looked at the TV, and I went over, I got the book that was sitting there for a whole year. I wasn't ready that whole year. I was ready that day. I picked it up, I read it, front cover to back. It said what to do if you need a change, you need Jesus Christ. say this and believe it, and you're saved. And I did that, and that was it. There wasn't a lot of roses. There wasn't, you know, I didn't hear any hallelujah.
No angels singing?
No, nothing. But I wasn't expecting that. I just did what it said, and I began to believe. And it was a couple months after that where I was invited to a Trace Diaz weekend. And on that weekend, and the Lord is in details, in our details. So it doesn't hit everybody the same way. But on that weekend, there was a moment when I felt the Lord say, you're looking for what's right, for you're looking for what's real. He says, I'm it. Mm. And it touched me deep within my heart. And it just began a journey, maybe a year and a half, almost 2 years. I resigned from IBM, and we went to Elam College up in Rochester.
So, you know, if we kind of stopped now, you know, you would think that this is like a Christian fairy tale, right? You know, they both started out kind of rough, and then they accept the Lord together. They've got a family. Like, everything is going to be perfect and awesome for the rest of their lives. Nobody's cheering. Nobody's like, because you know there's more to it, don't you? There's more to the story. And I think this is the lesson that we all have to learn, that even if we make mistakes, God will still be with us. So what happens now? You both got the Lord, but something goes south, doesn't it?
Yes. we had just grown apart from each other. There was like communication wasn't part of our vocabulary. And so after 35 years of marriage, we got divorced. And
it was subtle. It wasn't one day, oh, let's get divorced. It was over a long period of time. And it was so subtle that it was almost kind of not a big thing. And, you know, I take full responsibility for myself and for sin and for the things in my life. And I stepped out and said that, you know, I'm going to leave. And I was angry. I was angry at God. We went to Bible college, and it wasn't happening the way Wayne wanted. You know.
And your children were older at this point, right? They're gone out of the house. They're
yes.
25, 30 years
30.
Old
yes.
at this time.
Yep.
You know, there's a scripture, you know, as we were preparing for this that came to me, and it's in Malachi and chapter 2, verse 16. I think they'll put it up. And it's God speaking. It says, "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel." Now, when you look at that, that's harsh. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Sometimes we misinterpret what that's saying. What does God say? What's he saying there? He says, I hate divorce. It doesn't say, I hate divorcees. This is really important because sometimes when you talk about the scriptures and divorce, people all of a sudden feel like God hates me because I've been divorced. Here's a statistic for you. Half the people that get married end up divorced. All right, so that means half the people, unless they understand what I'm just saying right now, are going to feel shame and guilt, all these different things. Here's the thing. God hates divorce because of the cost of it. And I don't mean financial, although it does cost money that way. But here's the thing. I'm talking about the emotional toll, the hurt, the pain, the anguish that comes out of it, the price the children pay for it, you know, because they're the result of that union together. There's a price that's paid. But here's the thing. God forgives everything. And the question is, if you're divorced and you're here right now, are you in a state of divorce? Or have you gotten past it? Now, if you listen to Wayne, what did he say earlier? He said, it was my mistake. And what is he doing? He's confessing he erred. And so he's no longer in that state. In fact, you're no longer divorced either. Why are you guys both up here with rings on? Like, what's going on here?
So after 3.5 years, God decided that we needed to get back together because either one of us was looking for this to happen. I had an apartment, I was on my own, you know, my kids helped me, and I was good. But then Actually, we got together because our family dog I had to put to sleep, and I texted Wayne and said, you know, told him that. And so just after talking to him, I said to him, Wayne, what about the anger that you've had all these years? And he said, you know, he was exhausted from being angry, and he didn't want to be angry anymore. So I invited him over for dinner. Why? It's God. And so we talked for 12 hours straight. We talked, we laughed, we cried. We talked about things we never could talk about before. And so that started the journey of us getting back together.
I'm reminded of the scripture we started out with in Revelations. They did not love their lives even to the death. In other words, you were able to put to death some of the things of the past. Mm. That's amazing. Yes. Amen. 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 So, married, divorced, remarried. Amen. And you know, what a wonderful testimony of God's redeeming grace. And I recognize that there are times where that's not possible. You know, again, you may be divorced here and, you know, the ship has sailed. In other words, there's reconciliation is not possible. But here's the thing. You still have to resolve that within your own heart and deal with it before the Lord, amen, so that you can move on from that. Now, having said that, we don't hold anyone in some kind of purgatory prison if you've been divorced. In other words, we give everyone fair opportunity to be a part of ministry here. Whether you've been divorced in the past or not, what I want to check with is always to make sure that you've been able to get past it and you're not in that state anymore spiritually. Amen? So I just want everyone to know that we're a church that, you don't receive a little mark on you, you know, when you admit you've been divorced and you're kind of relegated to, yeah, you can come to church, but that's it. That's not who we are here. We accept everyone as equals in God because that's how God accepts you. Doesn't matter who you are, your background, what's happened in the past. It's who you are right now, right at this very moment. And God says you're loved and you're accepted if you're one of his children. Amen? It doesn't say you're loved and accepted except, you know, in the fine print. Oh, you've been divorced. Oh, okay. No, that look at category 6 and go. There's none of that in the scriptures. It doesn't work that way. So if you're dealing with, you know, shame and guilt, take it to the Lord and be free in Jesus' name. Amen? And if you're going to a church, and again, this is being broadcast, you're going to a church that preaches that, you know, divorce has some kind of purgatory attached to it, run. Don't be a part of that religious place. Be a part of a place that talks about a relationship in Jesus, that forgiveness is offered for anything and everything you could ever do. Amen? And that's Jesus, all right? That's Jesus. Amen. So with that in mind, you know, when you guys came here, I didn't think, oh, well, you guys have been divorced. They did get remarried. Does that make a difference? But, you know, I didn't think any of those things. Basically, I took you at face value of who you are. And it's wonderful you've been able to help and minister here. But you're going to be starting here a new ministry. You want to talk about that for a minute? I'm excited about this.
Yep. Amen. In prayer, Kim and I came to a place, and the Lord touched Kim with a name. This is going to be for seniors. We're going to meet twice a month. First one is September 7th, and then the 21st. And the message that came to Kim was for a name. And names are important. Gives us identity. And this name was Voices of Wisdom. And first and foremost, we get wisdom from God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Voices of wisdom, of truth, of soul-searching truth. And this group is going to be for 50 and over. We're going to check ID. Seniors haven't heard that in a while. And, it goes both ways. Voices of wisdom comes from above, comes to us, and then it comes to each one of us as we reach out to one another, that we all have voices of wisdom as we're listening to the one who's guiding, directing, and giving us unconditional love.
Amen. Kim, you want to add to that? I know that you have a real heart for this.
Yes, and I feel as if senior citizens, you know, you get a certain age and you're dismissed. And I really, really, really think that they're just filled with such wisdom. You know, they've walked their life, they've experienced who knows what, and they have a lot to say. They have a lot of input that, you know, you just, you miss out on, you know, because you're just missing them. Yep. So we just want this to be a fellowship, you know, just loving on one another and just, you know, showing them more of Christ.
Amen. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be awesome. Now, as part of this, you know, you maybe heard earlier that Wayne is ordained through Elam Fellowship, which we are a part of. And so he's already a pastor through Elam Fellowship. And here's the thing. They're going to be co-leading this ministry. And so Kim is already pastoring. You understand what I'm saying? She is already shepherding. She's already helping people in her position already. And so we here at Reach Out Church, we do ordain women to be pastors here. And so we have a number of people. In fact, I see Alan and Ingrid Kulik over here, and they co-lead the food pantry, and they're both pastors, all right? I see Yusuf and Larez Green. Again, they're involved in ministry, and they're both pastors. So we have women pastors here already under our umbrella. And I know for some of you, again, people watching, you're in tilt mode. You're like, you know, well, here's the thing. I'd be happy to have a chat with you about it, show you what I believe the scriptures say about it. And again, happy to talk with you about it if you'd like to have a discussion about it. But I believe since they're both doing exactly the same thing, I believe that Kim needs to be acknowledged in what she's already doing. Can you say amen to that? You know, I believe, again, we're a church not only of equal opportunity, you know, in ages, in whether you're a man or a woman. You know, God created mankind, male and female, he created them. It doesn't say that one is to control another in any way. We are all working together to advance the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? Mm. And so what I want to do right now is, I'll tell you this. We got cake after, but there's a reason why we got cake. It's because we want right now to just pray over Kim and just believe God to just empower her, give her a special anointing as she steps into the role of an official pastor here at Reach Out. So I'd like the Reach Out pastors, leaders to come forward so we can pray and prophesy together here and just believe for God to speak a fresh word. Amen? So yeah, Kim, you can stay right where you are. I'm going to move this right out of the way, though. Amen. I know Jonathan's got the microphone there, so if anyone has a special word from the Lord, please grab the mic so everyone can hear, all right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Bless you, Lord.
Well, Lord, I'm just going to open, Lord God, and I'm just going to say this. I thank you, Lord, for Wayne and Kim. I thank you that they have found a home here at Reach Out, and I'm blessed by that. For, Lord God, in their being here, they've brought comfort and help to literally hundreds of people already. And I'm just so grateful. I see it happening on a weekly basis. And Lord God, I know they haven't had a perfect life. none of us have. But Lord God, I thank you. You've brought them to this place at this point in their life. It shows your redemptive power, and we're so grateful for that. And so, Lord, right now, we just thank you for Kim. We thank you for what you're going to do, what you have done, what you're going to do. Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be your name. Father, I thank you, Lord, for my life partner. I thank you, Father, for you giving us chance after chance after chance. Thank you, Father, for your unconditional love. Just ask your blessing upon Kim. In everything that she does, that just drawing closer to you, Lord. And I've seen it already in the way she encourages me and the way she encourages others. And I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your gift to me through Kim.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you all honor and all glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we just thank you for Kim, Lord God, for her life, for what she does. As Pastor Carl mentioned, she's already a pastor, right? So all we're doing is we're just acknowledging
yes.
what's already being done. Mm-hmm. Lord, I was praying about Kim earlier, and you showed me a gate, and I didn't quite get it, and then you showed me the sheep, and you showed me the gate opening up, and you showed me Kim walking, and the sheep following. Mm-hmm. And I said, what is this? And so, and then I was reminded of the scripture where Jesus was speaking to Peter, and he said, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep.
Thank
so
you.
Kim, I think that's the word for you, that God has, feed his
that's good.
Sheep.
Just in addition to that, I sense God saying that he's deposited into you, and so you can pour out into others. So don't think of your experiences as nothing or that's not relatable. It's God has given to you and is calling you to pour that out to others in your ministry and in all that you speak over other people.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, Kaliyamas.
Submission to the Lord is the beginning. And the Lord says, just say yes and amen. You're just starting out. Yes and amen.
That's good. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I hear the Lord just saying you've been in many valleys over the years. You've been on some mountaintops as well. And all of those experiences are now coming to a place where others, when they come along, you can relate to them that God has given you this huge deposit of mercy and grace and understanding. Mm. Others would maybe go poo-poo. They would kind of, you know, say, what's wrong with you? But you would come alongside and say, I understand. Mm. You know, let's walk through this together. Mm. And so I hear the Lord saying that all that's happened has brought you to where you are now, and it all will be worked for good because you love me, says the Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless you, Lord.
Mm.
Jesus.
So, Father, just bless this team as they tag team together in this new ministry. And Lord God, I know that they're not just going to be confined to that ministry, but they'll continue to serve in all that they do now and just loving the people around them. So bless them, bless their families, bless their sons and their children, and bless all that they're a part of, Lord. That, Lord, from this point forward, that you will just be glorified in everything they say and think and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Pastors Wayne and Kim Kushner. Amen. Amen. Let's just have everyone stand. We're going to pray and close. Obviously, I encourage you to take a few minutes and congratulate Pastor Kim. You can shake Wayne's hand too, but spend most of your time with Kim this morning, all right? Father, I thank you for those that came out to celebrate with us this special time. Lord, I pray for those that maybe are going through a difficult time, whether it be a divorce situation or relationship situation. Lord God, whatever it might be, that, Lord God, that you would just be with them, that even through this testimony, that they heard that you were with them through the entire thing. And so, Lord God, if change of heart, change of mind needs to happen, Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that that happens. But, Lord, my prayer is that every single person here just senses that you are with them, not only now, but every moment of their lives as they've called out to you. So I thank you, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.